Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
It's Tech Tuesday with ABC News technology reporter Mike Dubusky.
We're not sure if he will be a judge in the upcoming AI beauty pageant, but he is our guest every Tuesday on Tech Tuesday.
The latest and greatest in the world of tech.
Tesla's next product, they call it a robo-taxi. These are AR glasses. They're called simply the Frame.
On Wisconsin's Midday News.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, Domo.
It's a Tech Tuesday edition of Wisconsin's Midday News on WTMJ. Always good to check in with our ABC tech expert, our friend. It's Mike Dubusky. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Did you see the story about a woman successfully giving birth in the backseat of a Waymo, an autonomous robo-taxi? Successful birth given. What can't these vehicles do?
Right. Yeah, I got to say, that's probably my favorite of the Waymo stories, although it is in close competition with the guy who got trapped going around the traffic circle and couldn't get out. That is also a pretty good one. A lot of stuff left to be figured out with these vehicles, but one of these autonomous robo-taxis is taking a pretty big step forward, or at least did in the last few days. Tesla has been operating autonomous robo-taxis in Austin, Texas, and in San Francisco for the last several months. Over the weekend, some videos started circulating on social media that appeared to show these Tesla Model Y crossovers in Austin driving around without anyone in the front seats. And that was a pretty big deal, because up until now, Tesla vehicles, because they were so new and so untested, they had to have this human safety driver in the front seat, basically there to take over in case the car did something weird or it found itself in trouble. Now, according to a post from CEO Elon Musk, those safety drivers are no longer necessary, which marks a pretty big step forward for this company, especially when we consider what their eventual goal is, which is to create this fleet of autonomous robo-taxis that operate all over the world. You can take one, from your home to your office, and then in the meantime, it'll go off and run errands for you or collect other cab fares and then come back and pick you up. There's a lot of blue sky thinking that Tesla has here. And eventually, Elon Musk wants to move Tesla from being a traditional car company that builds and sells, sedans and SUVs into something more akin to Uber. That's the eventual goal, and that's where a lot of Tesla's valuation comes from, that promise. And it seems like they are moving a little bit closer to that. However, Waymo, as we started off by talking about, does have the lead here. They operate in dozens of cities across the country, and they plan to expand in the coming year to 20 new cities.
So, Mike, why now? What changed that made Tesla comfortable removing those safety drivers?
It's a really good question. We don't really have a ton of insight into that, although it does seem like they've been operating not without incident, but without serious problems for the last several months. And that seems like an opportunity for them to make this change. There have obviously been, viral videos of these cars kind of making maybe weird turns or, behaving strangely in traffic. We've also seen that with Waymo vehicles and with Zoox vehicles, which is Amazon's equivalent of all this. So, there's a degree of that that's just going to be there. Now, it seems like Tesla really wants to, test these things, fully, right? They want to do this for real without the human safety drivers in place. It's worth mentioning that Tesla's operations here are very, very small. They started off with less than a dozen vehicles in Austin, and now we think it's between 30 and 40 cars that are running around down there. It's hard to get a firm number on that, but Waymo just issued a recall related to some safety features on their vehicles for 3,000 vehicles, right? That recall covers more cars than Tesla operates by quite a ways. And if Tesla is going to stake the future of the company on this self-driving car technology, well, they have some real catching up to do, it seems like.
Mike, how are these vehicles being optimized for all conditions, right? You get a little ice storm or something like mm-hmm. that in Texas, or if these things move to the Midwest, who knows what kind of weather it could run into?
Well, again, I think we have to go to Waymo to answer that question, which is, a bigger operating company. They've been working on this technology for a while, and they started in San Francisco, and then they moved to parts of Texas, and then they moved to, Phoenix and other sort of warmer climate areas, basically so these cars can figure out, the most ideal version of driving, which is good weather, clear skies often, well-maintained roads. That is where they started, and now it seems seems like Waymo is expanding into climates that are a little bit more inclement. What do you do when it snows? What do you do when there's heavy rain or other sorts of inclement weather? That's why we saw them recently, and they continue to test, albeit with human drivers in the front seats, these Waymo vehicles in New York City, which, you know, sees all sorts of weather. It snowed last week here. So, like, there's a bunch of things that they need to figure out that is, you know, in the progress of being figured out, but they're at the very early stages of that.
Mike, what happens if something goes wrong? Who's liable? The company? The passenger?
As of right now, it seems like the company is liable because, again, there's no, like, human driver in play here. There's, you know, when we talk about semi-autonomous systems, things like Tesla's autopilot systems or, you know, there's equivalents at General Motors and Rivian and Ford, you know, that is the driver. The systems do require you to pay some degree of attention to the road when you take your hands off the wheel and you set these sort of advanced cruise control systems. When you take someone out of the driver's seat, the liability changes, right? And we haven't really put this to the test under the law just yet, but that does seem like, you know, the direction that it would be going, because who else would it be? You know, if I'm in the back seat of a Waymo, you know, am I expected to now jump into the front seat and take control of the car if it does something weird? Well, that's a little bit unexpected.
Yeah.
Now, with regards to the potential likelihood for these things to go wrong, it's interesting, right? You would think that there's these big safety concerns around these cars, and there are. In fact, the recall that we talked about earlier regarding Waymo had to do with them failing to yield to school buses. So again, there's a lot of, like, unusual things that you encounter on the road that your brain as a human understands, but computers really struggle with. However, given Waymo's scale, they're really the only company out there that publishes safety data. And recently they found that Waymo's self-driving cars were involved in 91% fewer serious injury crashes and 80% fewer crashes causing any injury in general. This goes to support kind of what these tech companies have been pushing for, which is that computers are better drivers than people at the end of the day.
Mike, real quickly before you go, iRobot just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Is this the end of the road for our Roombas?
Well, not quite, but it does seemingly indicate a pretty big shift for this once very prominent and very innovative company,
yeah.
iRobot. They debuted the Roomba electric vacuum in 2002, and since then they've sold more than 50 million units. They were so successful that even in 2015, they launched a venture capital part of their business where they would invest in other businesses. However, in 2022, Amazon announced their intent to acquire iRobot for about $1.7 billion. iRobot was very much in favor of this, but European regulators were not. There were a lot of threats that, you know, the antitrust regulators would break up this deal. Eventually, it never ended up going through, and that kind of left iRobot in this weird state of flux. They really, you know, struggled over the last few years and got very closely involved with this supplier, a contract manufacturer called Picea. They owe them about $160 million to manufacture their own robots now. They also took out a $190 million loan earlier this year. And now, as part of this bankruptcy filing that they filed earlier this week, they are going to be acquired by Picea. Picea is taking full control of Roomba. They are erasing their debts, and the company will continue under that umbrella, which means that there will not be any disruptions to customers' Roombas as this transition takes place. That's according to iRobot. They say the company will continue to exist. The Roomba brand will persist. It will just now be under this new umbrella.
You know, they've been around the longest, but are they still the industry leader? Like, there's so, like, Samsung makes one and Shark makes one. Go to Costco, you can see a brand you've maybe never heard of, but seems to be gaining traction. And they're all priced so wildly, Mike. You can get entry-level $200 up to $1,000. Like, it's all over the place, and it's kind of a saturated market.
It very much is, and that was not the case for a really long time. Like, Roomba was not the first autonomous vacuum on the market. There was another one that debuted, like, a month before the original Roomba did. But Roomba was the one that, like, really brought home robotics to the, you know, mass market. This was a huge deal, and the original Roomba was, like, $200, which in 2002 was a lot of money.
Yes.
But it wasn't exorbitant by any stretch of the imagination. They really rode that success, being kind of the only major player in the market. Roomba became kind of like Kleenex or Zamboni. They were a brand name that was used to describe an entire market of products. Even if you didn't have a Roomba branded thing, you still owned a Roomba. You still called it a Roomba at the end of the day. That deal with Amazon, I think, really put the brakes on a lot of innovation, right? In this period of flux, they weren't sure if they were going to be acquired by Amazon. They weren't sure what Amazon was going to do with the eventual direction of the brand. They kind of stopped putting out products that innovated or iterated over their previous models. And in the meantime, a lot of competitors from China specifically, companies like Roborock and Europe in the form of Dyson, did put out really innovative robotic vacuum cleaners. These are vacuum cleaners that integrated mops into the vacuum system, and they could mop your floors and vacuum your carpets. And that was something that iRobot was kind of late to as well. Now being acquired by Picea, which has already kind of manufactured iRobot Roombas for them for a couple years now, it seems like the brand identity of Roomba is going to go away, because the Chinese firm also makes Shark and Anker robotic vacuums. They make a couple of others as well. You talk to analysts in this space and they say this is kind of the end of Roomba as we know it. The brand will continue, but the robotic vacuums will largely be a little bit more similar to the other stuff that's out there.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Always good information with Mike DeBusky on a Tech Tuesday. We appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Of course, guys.